Heavenly Father, we worship you. We come into your presence, Lord, recognizing our inabilities, our limitations, our weaknesses. So, Father, we ask you for fresh mercy. Mercy upon me, mercy upon my brethren. I look to you for fresh unction from your throne upon my heart and upon my lips, that you will make me an oracle of God, that, Lord, a pure chalice through which your word will come from you through me to your people in power and in clarity, in simplicity and in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, doing an eternal work in our hearts and lives in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for letting our wills help us so that all of our wills, including my own, we must submit it to your will. Our minds be further illuminated and enlightened by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, that our lives will not be the same, but you take us to a higher degree of glory in the name of Jesus. Lord, as your word goes forth under the covenant of our fathers, we come to pray that you will back it, Lord, with your word and your anointing. Let yokes be broken. Let blind eyes be opened. Let deaf ears be unstopped. Let strength come to our feet and our ankle bones, so that we will be doers of all the things that we hear and not hear us only, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you for mercy, O God. Help me, Lord, to be faithful. Help me, Lord, to seek the honor that comes from you alone. Help me, Lord, to speak, Lord, only those things that you want me to say. And I will not say anything unnecessary in the name of Jesus. And I will be a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, redeeming the time, bringing forth the treasure of this word from that treasure, both things new and things old, in the name of Jesus. Let your name be glorified. Let your will be done as we gather unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This morning we're going to the Word, the book of Colossians. And last week we were in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. And we saw in that lesson that God expects us to walk in Christ the way we received Him. And which now begs the question, how did we receive Him? Okay, so we receive Jesus by believing on His word, by confessing the word, and then there was a response from God, you know, that led to our salvation. And He's saying that that same way is the way God wants us to live. We're supposed to live by spiritual law. Amen. And that law involves believing God's word, confessing God's word, and then practicing God's word. Amen. And you practice it. The practice of it is really the love of God. So really, God wants us to walk in love. The Bible says the word that we saw that last, we're not going to turn to it. It says the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. So to be able to do the word of God, we must keep it in our mouth, and we must speak with them, and then keep it in our hearts to be able to do it. Amen. Well, we also saw that in walking in love, God gives us a deep, unshakable root in Christ. And that root is extremely, the Bible says that the remnant that is escaped of Israel, in Isaiah 37:31, they will take root downward and bring forth fruit upward. So the root is love. It's humility, really. Okay, is love, and that love, the more you take root downward, then you know the root of a plant is the source of its nourishment. Amen. Is where nourishment comes into the plant. It draws in ions and draws in all those water and draws in everything it needs into the plant, and then supplies it upward. Now, in the same way, when we take root downward in divine love, if you are properly connected in divine love with God. If you are connected with oversight, if you are connected with the brethren, guess what? You get nourishment. Sufficient nourishment from all those sources, so that you are now built up in divine love. And you bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, and we saw that root is important. It's critical in this day and hour. Because the Bible says that there are people that are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. When you have a root, you're not tossed. You're fixed. You may bend a bit, but then you come back up. Amen. And that's the importance of the root. It doesn't allow us to be moved, so to speak, as like Bible says. Okay. And the other thing that the root does is that it ultimately takes us into our inheritance. Because spiritually, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, he's saying that Psalm 1, blessed the man that does not work as a, but he says that he spreadeth his roots. So in Christ Jesus, our roots keep going deeper. Your roots keeps branching and keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper into God. Amen. And no, as you go deeper, then it establishes us in our inheritance. Let's look at that. Very briefly, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 11. Quickly. 2 Peter chapter 1. Thank you. Let's read together. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Give what? Diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall what? Root. Never fall. Next verse. For so an entrance. So it's twofold. First, it keeps you fixed. Next thing, that it gives you an entrance, shall be what? Ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's talking about the Spirit without measure that comes upon you when you have perfected the love of God in your life. Okay, so we saw that root is extremely important. Okay, also we saw Apostle Paul also warned the Colossian Christians to avoid man-centered intellectual arguments. If you look at religion, it's man's way of getting to God. So it is man-centered. Man is the focus. Anything that has man as its focus is ultimately going to fail. Because God is at the center of divine love. Now, it looks very good, things like humanism, for example, where, you know, you don't do good, you don't do evil to any person, you check it, you know, does it do good to this person, does it do good, the four cardinal rule, you know, does it do good, that, it's humanism, you know, because it has man at its center. What love has God as its center. And God must be the center, because it's the center that must hold. Man cannot hold the center. It is God that upholds all things by the word of his power. So everything must be unto God. The Bible says, for him, that says, of him, through him, to him are all things. So God is the center that must hold. Amen. And you see, so any argument, whether it's humanism, whatever, really philosophy, any craft, cleverly crafted idea or argument, are things we should avoid. Amen. And we saw that last week, that we should not allow those things. Also, we also pointed out that the convenience of technology, we must also be very careful with it, that it does not distract us. You know, now what philosophy does and all those arguments do is that they corrupt our faith. Bible says spoil. When something gets spoiled, if you put bread outside, it develops a mold. It spoils. Okay, so when something spoils, it becomes corrupt. It's being corrupted by something else. So if you are not careful with all these arguments, they can corrupt the purity of the faith that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen. And it takes us away from the end, which is the saving of our soul. That's the end of it. The end is the saving of our soul. So it will just make you veer off in one little tangent, and you still think you're doing the correct thing, but the end is that we must save our soul. So we must stay close to the end. Don't let anything corrupt. Don't let anything distract. Amen. And then finally, we saw that the Holy Spirit showed us that only Jesus Christ received the fullness of God bodily. We saw that powerfully last week. We're not going to go into that again. The Bible says that all the power, all blessing, all honor, all glory, all wisdom, all riches, all strength, you know, was given to him. He therefore is the only one qualified to refine our character. Okay, amen. That is to remove defects in our character and then grant us that same fullness. That's the essence of Christianity, is to partake of his fullness. Romans chapter 8 tells us in verse 30, it says that you bring many sons unto glory. Okay, so God wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son. But only the Son can make you a son. A set of rules and principles can't make you a son. It's something that is given. And no, somebody has to take you by the hand and take you from the cross, no, and take you up onto the throne. And that's God's aim. And you're going to get to the throne in Jesus' name. All right, so we saw that Bible says that we are complete in Him, you know, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So today we're going to look at verses 11, and let's read it together. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Thank you. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Next verse. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the oppression of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. Next verse. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all. Everybody say all trespasses, past, present, future. Amen. Next verse. Hallelujah. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, to His cross. Next verse. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Next verse. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Next verse. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Amen. Trust in the Holy Spirit to help us this morning. Let's go back to verse 11 and 12. Okay. Thank you. Right. So he says that, "Say in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Now, to understand this properly, you must understand from the fathers. There's no way you cannot remove the landmarks of the fathers. You must understand from the fathers that man is a spirit. He lives in a physical body. And he has a soul, which is his mind, his will, and emotion. Otherwise, you will get confused by the body of sin, by the flesh, and all that. You need to understand. So when he says flesh there, he's making a distinction, really, between the spirit on the one hand, and then the soul and the body on the other hand. It's very important that you understand that. So here, he's talking about a circumcision made without hands. Of course, we know the story of Abraham, that God asked him to circumcise himself and all the males in his household. And that circumcision was a sign of a covenant that they made together. Now, we also have a spiritual circumcision that brings us into a spiritual covenant with God. It's very important that we understand that. Okay, look at Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 10 to 13. Amen. Quickly, Ephesians 2, 10 to 13. Let's read it together. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Next verse. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles, in the flesh, talking about the physical, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands.
What's he talking about there? He's talking about the fact that some people are called the circumcision because they are physically circumcised. They are the Jews. Some people are called the uncircumcision because they are not spirit, they are not physically circumcised, because they are not Jews. They are called Gentiles. However, he's trying to say something. Next verse. That at the time you are without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Next verse. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off were made nigh by what? The blood of Christ. Amen. Give God a super hand. Amen. This is a spiritual operation that God the Father implemented. He designed it. Amen. And let's go into it. So what he's saying? He's saying that our being born again was a spiritual circumcision. So God circumcised us in our spirit. So your spirit is circumcised. And that's the sign of the covenant that you have with God. Because the Bible says, you know, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you have to be born again, because that's where the covenant begins. But he's now going ahead to say that being born again is a birth. We are his workmanship created in Christ. So it's a creation. Being born again is a birth. It's not just turning away from bad works and determining to do good works. That's good. But it's not a birth. It's a birth that equips us to do good works. That's the balance. So yes, it involves, but you must be born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. So you must understand that word is a seed. And when it comes in, it will recreate the human spirit if it's acted on in faith. Amen. All right. So we see that it's a birth. So and we go on to say that Jesus paid that legal price for all of our sins by taking upon himself the nature of sin. Now Jesus did not commit any sin. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. It's very important I mention that. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. Quickly. Thank you. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The key word there is made. Made. He didn't come, so he was made so that we could be made. He was made sin, so it was an exchange. But it was all in God's heart. Satan didn't know. He didn't understand. So he thought he was victorious, but in actual fact, God stooped to conquer. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Okay. So so Jesus took upon himself, because sin was the problem. When God asked man to obey, the rule of the law is this: if you sin in one, even if you have done all nine, that one you have sinned in all. It's not 9/10, it's 0. Is zero. So the Jews, didn't understand that. So the law was really given, to show that man needed something more than just keeping a set of rules, and it was impossible to keep that law. That was the essence. But the Jews didn't understand, so they would keep scoring 8/10, 9/10, having their own righteousness. But in God's economy, if you sin in one, you sin in all. So the law, the sin nature, weakened the law. Because instead of the law making you do the right thing, the fact that you said, don't do this, that sin nature will just say, why should I not do that? That's exactly what I want to do. And you can't stop me. And God gave man a free will. So what ended up was that man ended up being farther from God. Because the law was designed in itself to bring man close, but because of the sin nature, it weakened the law. So God knew that he had to sort out that sin issue. And so he now sent Jesus to take it away. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Give it to me in the Amplified, please. Romans chapter 3. 8. Sorry. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. I beg your pardon. Okay, thank you. Let's read it together. For God
has done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit. Sin nature. So the sin nature was weakening the law. Okay, let's read on. Sending his own son in the guise of sin as a man. Okay, and as an offering for sin, God did what? Condemned sin in the flesh, subdued it, overcame it, deprived it of his power over all who accept that sacrifice. Hallelujah. So what is God saying here? Jesus came to destroy sin. He came to set an example and then also to destroy sin, because sin was a problem for mankind. And man couldn't solve that because man had the sin. So God sent a man that didn't have any sin. So it was a virgin birth. Okay? No, by the conception of the Holy Spirit. So he did not have sin in his spirit, not in his soul, not in his body. And then he grew up. Then at the end, he laid down his life. How did he do that? He was made sin. How was he made sin? On the cross, he was nailed. And there was a crown of thorns. And there was a spear stuck in his side. So what happened is that blood was dripping out from him. And the Bible says in Leviticus 17 verse 11 that the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So that life was gradually losing life. So life flowed out and there can be no vacuum. So when, as the life was ebbing away, guess what? Sin took his place. So he became sin. He didn't commit. He became sin. But the idea was that in that sin, you and I were buried. That's what he's saying in verse 12. Buried with him in baptism. So you are in him by your sin. We are all in him by our sin. So we are represented in there by our own sin. So so when he paid the price, your own price was there as well. And so when he rose up from the dead, not only did he come back, he's taken away the sin. He now came back and gave you his own nature and the power to live to fulfill the law. Amen. We give God glory. So you see there that anyone who believes in his death and resurrection says, accept that sacrifice. Okay, and you know, has that sin nature instantly removed from the spirit. Okay, and then that spirit is recreated in the image of Christ. That's what we call born again. We were all born once because we were made in that image of Christ, knowing we were born. So we had sin in our souls, sin in our body as babies. But when we grew to the age of accountability, Bible says, sin revived and I died. What does that mean? It means that we naturally, when you are presented with the option of doing good and evil, we naturally chose evil. We didn't have the power to do good. Why? Because of the nature of sin in the baby. Notice that sometimes children do some things and you wonder, who taught you that? Nobody taught them. It's the nature. It's the nature. Sometimes you see selfish, sometimes you see them wicked, just do something cruel. Why did you do that? What's the meaning of that? It's the nature. It's the nature. So that's when we sin revived and then we died. And that was the need. There was now a need for us to be born again. Okay? Alright, so it's very important. So when we are born again, the life of God, okay, now comes as and becomes our nature in our spirits. So we now have two natures in the same person. The nature of God in the spirit, through which there is operating a law. And then there's a nature of the devil in the soul and in the body, and there's operating another law. It's very important that we understand that, okay? Look at Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 7. Quickly. Romans 6, 3 to 7. Quickly. Romans 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were what? Baptized into his death. Next verse. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. Where? Into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should what? Walk in newness of life. God has destroyed the power of sin. We're not debtors to live a sinful life by the grace of God. Next verse. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Next verse.
Hallelujah. Easter is coming. All right. So you can see it's pre-Easter message. Okay?
Knowing this, that our old man, everybody say our old man,
it doesn't exist again.
Our old man is what? Crucified with him, that the body of sin or the nature of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin.
Next verse.
For he that is dead is what? Free from sin. You're dead to sin.
You're not dead. You're alive.
You are dead to
sin.
Say, I'm dead to sin.
And that's how you said it yourself.
So you're dead to sin. Amen. So we're dead to that nature. It doesn't have any power. That's what God is saying. It should not control you. You should dominate it. God has given you the equipment to dominate it, a new spirit. Recreated in Christ Jesus unto good works. Amen. Alright. So we see that this now makes us, like in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, I'll just put it up. We become covenant seed of God. We know we're not Jews, but we are now covenant seed. We have a divine connection with God. We have our own personal relationship with God. And then we now become citizens of a spiritual Israel. I've talked about this, you know, commonwealth of Israel, all that. When we are born again, we now have Christ. We are now members of the commonwealth of Israel. We are now heirs of the covenants of the promise. And we now have hope. We now have God in the world. Everything is reversed. Because you now have Christ. So you now have to live like it. You have to know who you are. You're not just anybody around the road. No. It doesn't matter how much money you have in your pocket. You need to know who you are. It's about who you are. You are a child of the Most High. You are a covenant child. You have rights and privileges that are yours. Amen. It's very important. And the Bible says that the Bible talks about us being a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar. The Bible says he has called us out of darkness that we might do what? Show forth. How does it say? Give it to us. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. Quickly. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. Quick. Thank you. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people that you should show forth the praise of him who has done what? Called you out of darkness into his. It's not ordinary light, too. It's marvelous light. Having no part dark. So that means that God ultimately expects us to remove the sin nature in the soul and the body. That's what he's telling you. That you have become a special group, a select company. You have been elected into a special family. It's a royal family. You are now royalty, spiritual royalty. And guess what? You are peculiar. And you are getting good. So it's getting more peculiar. Not conformed to the ways of the world. Amen. So that's how we should live. And this spiritual operation was designed by God the Father. Lord Jesus Christ now supplied all the materials. Amen. He supplied the blood. He supplied the word. He supplied the life. And he gave us the name. And then the Holy Spirit takes all that and implements it in everybody's life. It's available to all. But only those who respond to it will actually get it. If you respond to that message and you say, okay, yes, I want to be born again, then the Holy Spirit effects it. But you can see that cooperation between God. God the Father is the, I can't forget, Pastor Olubi taught us almost 30 years ago. God the Father is the architect. Lord Jesus Christ is the builder. He's the supplier. Or the contractor that supplies the materials. And the Holy Spirit is the builder. Build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. So God is building you up. That's where God says. So you're not just being born again, just to be born again and live on the earth. You are going somewhere to shine with marvelous light. Amen. Okay. And all this was done by faith. It's very important. So look at verse 13 and 14. See how far God helps us. Amen. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ gives us access, because it says that everything happened through the blood. Now, that blood now gives us access to Zoe, the life of God. Now, we know, or should know, but for the benefit of those that are coming for the first time, Zoe, or the life of God, is a spiritual substance. It's the substance inside God that makes him God. Look at John 5:26 very quickly. John chapter 5, verse 26. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read it together. For as the Father hath life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. So what is life? Life is what the Father has in himself. Self-explanatory. Simple. Right there. Okay? And the Bible says in John 10:10 that I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So really, Christianity is a new birth through the life of God. It's a change of nature. You must understand it. It's that change of nature that now produces the action. The Bible says that how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good. You also will do good. You will also heal all that are oppressed. Amen. But you must first of all obtain that nature. It's available. Okay? And that's what it's saying. So that nature, when we get born again, it comes into our hearts. But continuously, because there is sin in the soul and the body, oftentimes we still sin. Amen. We still make mistakes. We still do things that are contrary to the word of God. So God now expects us to continue to use the blood. Amen. And you know, the blood does several things. You know, let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14, quickly. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14. Okay. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from what? Dead works to serve the living God. See, the blood purges our consciences from dead works. That is, it removes the guilt and the condemnation. So God cleans your conscience. You don't have to be going around with guilt and condemnation. You just have to confess your sin and receive life. Like, look at 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, quickly. Let's read together. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when you confess your sins, God forgives us. Forgiveness means we're not going to hell. But he goes and this is where the blood is extremely critical. We must understand that the blood goes, it is released. It's a spiritual substance. You don't see it. They don't sell it somewhere. It's by faith. When you believe and you confess according to the scripture, that blood is activated and it goes and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean? It means that sin creates a block in the spiritual umbilical cord that we have between us and God. You know what an umbilical cord is? It's what connects the mother to the baby. Okay, when the baby's in the womb and when the baby is born, they cut the umbilical cord. Now there is a connection that we have because when we are born again, it's restored. No, the spiritual one is restored when we are born again. Now, it can get blocked or clogged by sin. So when you confess your sins, the blood of Jesus Christ removes that block. It cleans that. So that connection is clear, clean and clear, so that you can now receive life. So it cleans the heart, okay? Then it purges the conscience from dead works. And then let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 verse 20. And then it gives you life. It's very important. Hebrews chapter 10:20. For the law, having a shadow, no. 10:10:10. This is 10:20. This is what I want. By a new and living way. Let's then give me 9. Give me 19. It's 19 and 20, so we can understand it. Having therefore brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by how? By the blood of Jesus. Next verse. by a new and living way which he has considered for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. What it means is that the flesh took away the sin. His own flesh took away the sin. It was like a sin collector. He took it and then destroyed it. Okay? So, he now creates a new way through the blood into the very holy. That way used to be blocked before. There was a thick veil that was in that place. So, the blood of bulls and goats could only cover. There was always a charge because people were not able to live by the standard that God put. So, always that thing was always there. It was contrary. As Bible means, it was standing as a reminder that you are falling short. And there was room to guilt. There was guilt because you were not able to live at the standard God has set. So, but now when the blood of Jesus Christ comes, the veil was torn from top to bottom by a mighty angel, giving us access into the holiest of all. Amen. So we can go in there by the blood of Jesus, and then that blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and then gives us life. Purges our consciences from dead works, so we can enter into that very holiest of all. We're in the image of Christ in the holiest of all, in our spirits, and you can interact with God right there, in that place. In that place, you can actually. So what are we saying? We're trying to explain to you that you know, there is therefore no condemnation. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Because we now have access. We now have the nature. We now have the life of God, new and living. Living there is Zoein. Okay? We now have the life of God working actively in our spirit. So anytime you confess your sins, always remember, thank God for our power. Let's just give our fathers a super hand. Thank God for good teaching. Solid teaching. How are we taught? Father, we confess our sins. And so we clean with thee. Now, if you didn't say it, it's true. But when you say it, it marks your thinking that you're being clean with the blood. Okay? So we clean the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. That's what access. That's what that access does. It gives you life. Then you can then pray with that life and release power. Because ultimately, what God was doing was he took the sin and gave it the power. But you can't get the power except you have the nature. And when you get the nature, you must have a flow. And when you have the flow, then you can now pray and convert the nature into power. It is Zoe, but you can convert it into dunamis in your spirit as you pray by the help of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So that's the will of God. So we see, now there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. But what I want to make you see now is that there is no condemnation for two reasons. The nature of sin has been removed and replaced. Some people want to repeal and replace. Well, God removed and replaced. Hallelujah. Alright, and then there is access to resurrection power. Okay, to be able to live in righteousness. So the new nature and the great power through Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross put all of us in a commanding position to fulfill spiritual law. So you can obey God. So there's, when you obey God now, there's no charge. Everything is annulled. Because now you are living at the standard. In fact, you exceed the standard of the Ten Commandments. It's now prayed for you. And you now move up to the standard of divine love, which is the fulfilling of the law. Amen. So we see that this is what God did. Therefore, ceremonial observances were no longer necessary. All those diverse washings and kill this animal and bring a little one hin of flour, another hin, two hins of oil, you pour it together, all of these are done away with. So what we now have really is moral law, okay, which is the law of conscience, and then of course spiritual law, which is the higher law. Amen. Bible talks about a more excellent way. So important things to say here is important. Cleaning with the blood is a continuous process. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. So we clean once when we get born again. We clean every day, but we can clean frequently during the Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you what? Perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
So it's a continuous process. That's why we are taught every time to confess our sins, because you keep maintaining that connection with God and make sure that you stay righteous. So it's not a sin consciousness, it's a righteousness consciousness. Because every time I confess my sins, I'm cleaning with the blood. And no, by extension, there's a purging of my conscience from guilt. So my righteousness is not coming from what I did. It's coming by the blood. What Jesus did. It's my faith in what Jesus did that makes me stand. I'm not keeping one record like a Pharisee. Up to now, I can't think of any sin that I have seen. God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Those are grave clothes God wants to take away from us. God wants to take it in our thinking. It's embedded there. I've not seen. Thank God, I've not seen anything. Oh, this person came and won't run see me. No, just came and spoiled my record that I've been building all day. There is no record. There is no record. Don't leave the place of grace and go back to walk in the law. Stay in the grace of God. Confess your sins and receive life. And keep moving on. When you do well, when you don't do well. It's very easy to confess when you don't do well. But when you do well, it's like, praise God. I don't need, need blood by the man needed. May God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. You always need the blood. Confess your sins and ask God to give you life so you can walk in greater humility. Because success is a trial, you know. It's easy to fall when you succeed. When you are down, you fear no foe. When you are down, Father, confess my sins. Joy, shanu me. When you are up, shame on. Don't be like Humpty Dumpty. When they were up, they were up. God have mercy. All right. So what are we saying? We are saying that our righteousness comes by faith, and must maintain it by faith. Confess our sins, so clean with blood in Jesus' name. Have life. You pray in tongues. Number two, as we have received the blood, we also must be looking around for our other brethren to clean their sins with the blood. 1 John 5:16. Quickly, give it to me quickly. Right. If any man sees brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall what? Ask, and he shall give life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. What is he saying there? If you the same way you confess your sins, when you see somebody sin, instead of saying, Father, I confess our sins. In Jesus' name, we have life. I give life to XYZ. And you pray in the spirit. When somebody does something against you, I confess our sins. How often do you do that? It's very important. You must do it all day long. And it be more frequent. Be more consistent. It's fundamental. But know what it will do? It will make you well connected. So you'll be rooted in love. And then you'll be built up to bring forth more fruit. Amen. Okay? And then, of course, it's important to say that the blood is not, it's for our conscience. The Bible talks about the precious blood of Christ. And in 1 Peter 1:19, it's not for your car, it's not for the expressway, it's not for a letter, it's not for a visa. You don't just plead the blood on anything and everything. God in his mercy allowed, because God understands what you mean. But the ultimate is that these are the days of light, and we should now walk in the light as he is in the light and not be ignorant. Okay, so we don't just, I plead the blood. Father, I confess my sins. I clean with the blood is for your conscience. There was nothing that could clean that conscience. You and I were far away from God. We were far away. The Jews were nearer. But none of us was at the place where the law was. So it's not for things. It's for your heart. It's a spiritual substance for the heart. To clean that heart and make it connected to God. So let's have understanding. So we don't use it for the expressway. Amen. Amen. God will help us in Jesus' name. Finally, let's just round up. Okay. All right. In verse 15, that's how far we can go today. Give it to me, verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them
openly, triumphing over them in it. Give it to me in the Amplified. God, I can't hear you, children. God did what? Disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in the cross. Oh no, Opa. You know when you see somebody black and blue publicly and shook them like this? The first thing he did was he disarmed them. You know, he disarmed them, took the weapons from them. Then when the Bible says, when he's stronger than him coming, he will take from him the armor wherein he has trusted and divide the spoil. God never took that. Bring that weapon that I've been using all this time. You are using it on my head, Abby. Bring it! Collected the weapon and then beat all of them. Black and blue. And there are two amplified versions. There is a regular amplified. There's an amplified classic edition. This one is classic. Give it to me in the regular amplified. You will see something that if you have, there's a regular. I don't know whether you have that. Let me read it to you. This other amplified is something else. May God have mercy. You need to. It will help your faith. Do you have it? Oh. You have it in Jesus' name. You need to update your. What I'm trying to bring out is that it says that he matched them. You know when you match slaves in those days, you put chains on their neck, and you match them in a file. They be walking in a file and become behind them. That's what Jesus did for Satan. He all those principalities and powers. Thank. Message. Okay. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. You get? That's it. That's what he did. That's what he did. He marched them naked. Naked in the streets. That Amplified Version says, when he disarmed the rulers and authorities, those supernatural forces of evil operating against us, he made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in his triumphant procession, having triumphed over them through the cross. Jesus marched the devil. I know, but he marched them, march! And they were left, right, left, right. What they were obedient. No, Satan is disobedient by nature. Jesus disciplined and made him obedient. And guess what? You also can spoil principalities and power. You can. How do you do it? The same way he did it. He's given us a pattern. He's the pattern son. How we do it? By submitting to the will of God. That's what the cross is. The cross is submitting your will to the will of God. It gives you access to divine power, divine wisdom. And then you also can spoil him and tell him, march! And he will march. Because you have authority. Look at James chapter 4 verse 7 as we close. James 4 verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. The first thing there is submit. Resist is put spiritual weapons into play. And draw life. Pray in the spirit. Use the word. And deal with him. And you know what? You also will spoil him. You make him a public example. Because you know everybody can. In the spirit realm everything is clear. Is naked and open. Everybody can see it. So when you discipline him, they know that he's been disciplined. Because he goes back with his tail between his legs. And you enforce the will of God. That's the will of God for us, brethren. God wants to live a triumphant, victorious life. By having an understanding of what Jesus Christ has done for us in the cross. And using it to the maximum. Amen? It's very important. So use it to the maximum. Don't allow Satan to put you under. Don't allow him to put you under guilt, under condemnation. If you don't let that feeling stay. Fight it. Confess your sins. Repent. Don't accept it. Don't accept those feelings. They're grave clothes. And don't measure yourself by your own righteousness. Measure yourself by righteousness that Jesus has purchased through the blood. Let us pray. Amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Talk to God. Your heart is so critical. It's through the heart that we serve God. It's in the heart that we know God. The heart is the only thing we're taking away when we're going to, when we leave this planet. So that heart is precious. That's why God gave that His blood, the blood of His first begotten Son, to clean that heart. Use it. Stay righteous all the time. No break, consistently. So clean with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Practice it. Confess the sins of others. So you show mercy. Forgive. Ask life for them. And show mercy. So they also, if they're born again, you know, mercy comes from outside. If they're born again, grace comes through the life. If they're not born again, mercy comes from outside. So you also, as a son of God, as a part of spiritual Israel, you destroy sin everywhere you see it. Remember, we're not under the dominion of sin anymore. In our spirits, there's been a change. It's a new law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. So we're free.
Hallelujah.
To fulfill the law, to know God.
Amen.
So walk in the reality. As we pray. Purify my heart, let it be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let it be as gold. Let it be pure gold. Refine as fire. My heart's one desire is to be.
Time for us to pray. As you come to pray, I want to encourage you, start with that readiness to do His will. Set your will to do His will. Bible says, if any man will do His will, he will know. Make up your mind to do that will, because now you have the nature, you have the power, you have the access. It must not be in vain. In every area in your life, let that gift of righteousness turn around to prosper in every part of our soul. Let's raise up our right hand, sign that we need God. Put your hand, left hand on your heart. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, reminding me that the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed to make me a part of the Commonwealth of Israel, to give me hope and a God in this world, to make me covenant seed, and to enable me to live, to fulfill the requirements and the demands of the law. I thank you, Father, for all that you have taught me, and I come to determine afresh that I will love you. I will walk in divine life, receiving it by confessing my sins and asking for life consistently throughout the day. And I will pray in the Spirit, so the life of God will flow from my spirit into my soul and into my body, flushing out the sin nature, causing me to be holy as you are holy. Help me, Father, so that out of me you will shine forth with marvelous light, causing the light of the knowledge of the glory of God to be evident through me and to fill the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Rale la masata, jevredio, rale de bopai, rope caro costea, jele na masambere, mecalo batia, rale de beparu coca, coanque cale, jeca de bebosa, rope pao, cake, coamare, rale la maya, rale de besoa, ramape, pao, yara, rale, ramamato bantanta, jeca de bebetua, robambambehe, rale, ranobo, rale de besa, rale la mea, baro. Mia kaka kongradia rande brosea rambreke kombea jalobol rande bea relele bea jana bele rolele sata renaba bekalayana robaba katubasa jefekenama. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.